in a free PDF, which you can get off his website, called The Life and Times of a Remarkable Misfit, AJ Lane had something to say that struck me this morning as I was drinking a cup of coffee, or making a cup of coffee to be exact. And it goes under the title of, "We don't care about what you know." And this is something he wrote in London, in Stoke Newington, in a cafe there. Now, Stoke Newington's a place I used to hang out in. I used to live for a while on Lordship Road in Stoke Newington. But anyway, here we go. I'm going to read you a bit of AJ Lane. The title is, "We don't care about what you know. We care about what you do with what you know." The great and possibly only problem with the information revolution is that the act of consumption has become ever so sexy that it is at times elevated to a flattering stature that it simply does not deserve. We can quite literally spend an entire day answering emails on our sexy iPhone 4, reading Flipboard. Yes, Grace? No, no, no TV at all now. We're out of here in 5 minutes, right?
Just for 5 minutes, TV, please.
No, not even 1 minute. Go and wash your teeth. Sorry about that interruption. We can quite literally spend an entire day answering emails on our sexy iPhone 4, reading Flipboard, powered blogs on our sexy iPad 3, responding to TweetDeck's every beck and chirp on our sexy MacBook Air, and deceive ourselves into believing that on this day we actually did work, that we actually made something. Of course, upon further inspection, we recognise that we didn't. We didn't make or create. We spent the day consuming and responding at worst and curating at best. In the 1980s, no one ever patted themselves on the back because they spent 12 hours a day planted on a beanbag watching Laverne and Shirley reruns while snacking on a stale bag of Cheetos. No, those people knew they were losers. The great difference being, of course, that watching television is primarily about consuming entertainment, while the day I've described above is primarily about consuming information, some of which is valuable and some of which pretends to be. But it's still consuming, which should never be confused with creating. I love reading, and reading a good book may feel good, but it's not the same as writing one. But today, because consuming looks good and feels so damn good, it's incredibly easy to trick ourselves into thinking it's work. There is no doubt that spending time ingesting and reacting to the thoughts of others is indeed helpful, but it is never to replace the time needed to generate your own ideas, your own works, your own art. Consuming is not a virtue, and curating is only slightly better. Creating, now that is what you are here to do. Let me just read that again. Creating. Now that is what you are here to do. Go make something, and when you're finished, take a deep breath and do it again. The world needs you. Now that kind of revolutionary, strong stuff was written from a little cafe in Stoke Newington, inner city London. Grime and grot it used to be. I remember it well. I love Stoke Newington. Anyway, that's really quite a strong piece of writing, eh? That hits me in the face, because what I've been doing right now is curating, presenting to you the works of somebody else. And I had a great intention that after I'd done that, I was going to read a poem as a gift and give it to AJ Lane. But of course, that's not the same as writing. Well, AJ, I haven't got time to write you a poem right now, so I am going to read you a bit of a poem. And it's a hair shirt, if you like, experience, because in Ireland, for a very long time, people have been going to a place called Loch Derg. My father used to go there. My father went many times there. My mother went once, and I think she said she'd never go again. And I've never been, and I don't think I ever will go there, but it's an island on a lake up in Donegal, and it's a really tough experience, and it's called Loch Derg. And here's the beginning of a poem by Patrick Kavanagh called Loch Derg. And this is a bit like preparing for intentional living. And here we go. Lots of place names in here. Lots of Irish stuff in here. You know, a Cuban American won't understand all this, but you do know Ireland. You have been here and you will come again. So I wonder, will you ever go to Loch Derg? This is quite different from the warm shores of the Pacific Ocean, which is where you are right now. Okay, Loch Derg by Patrick Kavanagh, the beginning of it. From Cavan and from Leitrim and from Mayo. From all the thin-faced parishes where hills are perished noses running peaty water. They come to Loch Derg to fast and pray and beg with all the bitterness of non-entities and the envy of the inarticulate when dealing with the artist. Their hands push closed the door that God holds open. Love sunlit is an encounter in June's hours and flowers and light. These to shopkeepers and small lairs are heresies up beauty's sleeve. The naive and simple go on pilgrimage too. Lovers trying to take God's truth for granted. Listen to the chanted evening devotions in the limestone church. For this is Loch Derg, St. Patrick's purgatory. He came to this island acre of limestone once to be shut of the smug too faithful. The story is different now. Solicitors praying for cushy jobs to be county registrar or coroner. Shopkeepers threatened with sharper rivals than any hook-nosed foreigner. Mothers whose daughters are final medicals, too heavy-hipped for thinking. Wives whose husbands have angina pectoris. Wives whose husbands have taken to drinking. But there were the sincere as well, the innocent who feared the hell of sin, the girl who had won a lover and the girl who had none were both in trouble, trying to encave in the rubble of these rocks, the real, the part that can feel, and the half-pilgrims too, they who are the true spirit of Ireland, who joke through the death mask and take virgins of heaven or flesh, were on Loch Derg Island, wanting some half wish. Now it goes on. It's a long poem. And I have never read it. And I'll just read you the very end of the long poem. All happened on Loch Derg, as it is written, in June 1942, when the Germans were fighting outside Rostov. The poet wrote it down as best he knew, as integral and completed as the emotion of men and women, cloaking a burning emotion in the rags of the commonplace, will permit him. He too was one of them. He too denied the half of him that was his pride, yet found it waiting. And the other half, untrue of this story, is his pride's rhythm. The turnips were a-sowing in the field around Petigot as our train passed through. A horse cart stopped near the eye of the railway bridge. By Monaghan, Cavan and Dundalk, by Bundoran and by Oma, the pilgrims went, and three sad people had found the key to the lock of God's delight in disillusionment.
Patrick Kavanagh was born in 1905 and died in 1967. Born in Monaghan, lived in Dublin for most of the time. And if you want to get in touch with AJ Leon, it's easy. AJLEON will get him on Twitter. But if you want to get a complete copy of the PDF, all you have to do is put into a search engine pursuitofeverything.com and it'll pop up and you can download it. So he's going to be around for quite a while on this remarkable journey, and this is one more in a project where I have promised myself that I will do everything I can to find 1,080 poems to contribute. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much. Just go write a poem yourself.